Too sweet for me.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay, there we are. We're recording. So, good evening all. Thank you for coming to this OSG, the last OSG, on the 8th of, Monday, the 8th of April. We, first of all, the recording and filming, please note this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, please be advised that under the openness of local government bodies regulation, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. If you have any queries about these arrangements, please speak to the Democratic Services officer. Thank you. Right, apologies and substitutions. We have apologies from Councillor Judy Bradshaw. Councillor Baines, we still hope Michael will arrive, but he's a little bit late, but we still have a quorum without him. We have four people.
Andy Paley.
Pardon?
I've not heard anything from him.
I did see something that was on holiday looking for a sub, but I don't think it's...
Okay. Well, we still have a quorum, so we'll continue. Right, the minutes of the previous meeting, the meeting was on the 11th of March, and if you remember, it was the Budget, Environment and Planning Department, the Local Development Scheme and the Children and Young People Strategy. Mm-hmm. I've read the minutes and I think they reflect pretty well what they say. Anybody like to second that?
I'll second that.
No objections? Good. Okay, well, we'll take those as read. Disclosure of pecuniary and personal interest. Anybody for any interest to declare? No.
No.
And declaration of the party whip, we have no party whip. And we have had no questions under scrutiny committee procedures. So we come to item one of the business, and that's on pages 8 to 13 for anybody with an electronic device. And that's to consider a report from the Chief Executive on the key elements of the proposed agreement with Leicester City Council and the LLEP to deliver the Leicestershire and Loughborough and Leicester Science and Innovation Enterprise Zone. So can I call upon the lead member, Councillor Jonathan Morgan, to introduce the item, please?
Thank you very much, Councillor Davidson. So this is a paper really setting out where the council currently is in relation to the agreement on the Enterprise Zone. And the Enterprise Zone, as you are no doubt fully aware, is slightly unique as far as all of the Enterprise Zones in the country are concerned, because it straddles not only three distinct sites, but also two authority areas, so us and obviously Leicester City. To add to its uniqueness, Leicester City is obviously a mayoralty, so it's a single authority, whereas we are a district, a very large district at that. So it is slightly unique in the way it's structured. Two of the three sites are within the Charnwood area, that being the site that stretches from Loughborough University up to Junction 23 of the M1. And the other being the former AstraZeneca site, which is the known as the Charnwood campus, which is a life sciences innovation site. The two sites themselves are quite distinct in the way that they are being developed, and also in their structure. The science LUCEP, which is the university to the M23, or Junction 23 of the M1 site, is currently under two ownerships. One half of the site is actually under the ownership of Loughborough University, the other half of the site is actually under ownership of, it's actually under license to Wilson Bowden, but ownership of De Lisle itself. And those two sites are within one, or those two ownerships are within one site. The other is obviously Charnwood Campus, which, as you will all know, has a large number of the former AstraZeneca buildings actually on the site, and as a result is substantially already ready for occupation. People like 3M have moved up there, but also many other businesses, such as Almac and various others, who are hopefully going to expand on the site. The third site, which is within Leicester City, is the Waterside Park site. Waterside itself is in need of a lot of attention as far as it's a sort of heavily used brownfield site. And under a number of ownerships, and I won't go into a lot of detail on that one because it's very much in the domain of Leicester City itself. But the important thing about how we've come to where we are at the moment is that because it's quite complex, because obviously the requirement of the enterprise zone is that it's delivered by the three applicants to the enterprise zone, namely us, Leicester City, and also the LEP. And we have to, between us, deliver the growth and the development and the investment on those sites. Now, that investment comes from business rates. So the business rates are retained for 25 years. We're currently 2 years into that 25-year period. And we were certainly very eager to actually go beyond the memorandum of understanding where the initial application came from, to actually be in a point where we can actually then structure development of any business rates that are coming out of those sites, any businesses moving to them, would generate, so we can actually then put that money back in. I have to say, to date, of the three sites within the enterprise zone, I'm sure Chief Exec will correct me if I'm wrong, the only one that's currently generating business rates as of today is Charnwood Campus. The other two still have yet to actually build any buildings and generate any business rates within those sites. Is that correct?
I think so.
So as a result, the amount of money coming in is actually quite limited as of now. So what we had to do was actually put together a governance agreement and a structure to set out effectively what was going to happen for the next 23 years. And the hope obviously being that if we can actually invest in the two sites, certainly within the Charnwood area, we can rapidly generate growth with that, obviously income, to pay for the investment, but also bringing jobs and prosperity to the borough. So we've set out in this paper some of the principles behind the agreement that we have now reached with the LEP and the City Council. And I have to say, it has taken a substantial amount of time to actually get to the point where we have settled on a proposal and a way forward. Our starting point, I think it's fair to say, from the LEP and also from the City Council, was very, very different to where we are now. We had set out a pretty clear position from the beginning, which was that we wanted to be equal partners as far as the three members were concerned, and that we also wanted to make sure that the investment going into the two sites within our part of the enterprise zone was not going to be stymied by any investment purely going into the city site, which quite clearly needs a great deal more of investment to turn it into a live, prosperous site. And where we've got to at the moment is that we have an agreement in principle such that a certain amount of money stays with the authority from the business rates that are collected. In our case, there'll be 10%, and then there'll be another 2%, which will be covering the County Council and the Fire Authority. Sorry, 2.5%, and then the remaining 87.5%, which will be available for investment. Now, the initial proposal at the moment, and we have been quite clear that we are not restrictive as far as the percentage is concerned, because it needs to be what's required for the site rather than necessarily just an abstract figure. But the requirement is to invest all of the business rate income left over, the 87.5%, in the enterprise zone until they require no more investment. Now, the LEP, I think, have notionally set that at 37.5% of the 400%. So in other words, 12.5% for the authorities, 37.5% for the site investment, and the remaining 50% for investment through the LEP to other sites across the county. The point is that the first call on any investment money from the business rates will always be to the actual enterprise zone sites themselves. And it may well be it's 10 years until those sites are actually fully invested and are flying. So any income available for the rest of the county for any other development may be a fair number of years off. The other thing that we were quite enthusiastic to set as a principal was that our authority itself could actually be a principal investor in this two sites within our enterprise zone, rather than actually relying on external authorities to invest or external bodies. Obviously beneficial for us on the basis of actually being able to invest in the growth and prosperity of our own borough, but also financially for the authority, beneficial as well on the basis of actually having quite a, hopefully a sound investment portfolio available to us. So those principles are, we've tried to set those out within the document, and the request is that obviously what now needs to happen is actually the sort of further layers of detail to enable us to actually finally come to a signed document. So it's about being able to give myself as leader and also the chief exec the authority and delegation to actually negotiate the final parts of those details. Just to set in, I mentioned the 10% and the other figures. In round terms, that's probably about £15 million of income, additional income for us as an authority over the 25 years. And then obviously for the investment in the sites, we ask for a very specific breakdown of what their requirements are to actually invest out. Now, at the moment, Wilson Bowden, I think, are in the process of putting in a planning application for their part of the University of the Junction 23 site. We don't know as yet what investment requirements they may require. Likewise, the university needs to actually set out what their investment requirements are for their site, and likewise, Charnwood campus need to set out what their investment requirements are for their part as well. And then that will give us a much better idea about what our obligations and what our investment criteria will be for the future.
Thank you very much, Councillor Morgan. That's the most comprehensive description that I've ever heard of any enterprise. Thank you very much. Jeff, do you want to add anything to that? Is there very much to add?
There's not a great deal to add at this stage, Chair, but obviously I'm very happy to deal with any questions.
Thank you. Okay, now the recommendation, the recommendation is that the leader and the chief executive be authorised to enter an agreement with the Leicester City Council and the left to deliver the Loughborough the Science, Leicester Science and Innovation Enterprise Zone. So that's to be our recommendation. Any comments?
Just one.
Yeah?
The Enterprise Zone has 87%. Do they know how long they will need that 87% or
so,
any indication of how long they need
So the 87.5% of business rates is over the 25-year period.
Right.
So what we're trying to do at the moment is to ascertain precisely what the investment requirements will be for each of the individual sites. And at the moment, the LEP have suggested there's a notional of the 87.5%, actually there's a notional 37.5%, which would be probably the investment requirement for the enterprise zones in their totality. Now, what our point has always been, actually 37.5% is notional. What we want to do is actually understand what it actually is.
Yeah.
It may well be it's 25%, it may well be it's 75%. But the requirement, the legal requirement, is actually that the first call on any business rate generation from the enterprise zone is actually for investment within the actual enterprise zone itself. And until that investment is maxed out, the excess business rates, the unneeded business rates, as far as the investment within those sites concerned, is not available for any other use outside of
take it up to 25 years?
Well, so it may well be that actually within the first 10 years, all their investment requirements are actually met by the business. But again, it's dependent on the business rate collection as to how much money is available to actually pay for the investment into the site. So, you know, if in 10 years' time, Charnwood campus is still the only campus that's actually generating business rates, that clearly is not going to be enough if you think about a 25-year mortgage and what's required to actually pay off the 25-year mortgage. You know, the amount that we can actually then invest is dependent very much on the income coming in from the business rate.
Thank you.
Are there any stipulations on how that money should be spent?
Would they? It's reasonably, I think it's probably fair to say, every site is classified as being quite unique. There isn't a great deal of, the actual agreements are very much site specific.
Yeah, but it's capital primarily,
yeah.
And it's inside the red line. So there's no agreement about spending outside of the zone. It could be, this is why we need to see the investment plan, if there is a surplus of business rates collected and that becomes available, then that obviously would be invested outside of the zone. It could be adjacent, but as far as the enterprise zones themselves are concerned, we're talking about bricks and mortar on the sites
and infrastructure.
Yeah.
So for instance, there's a requirement for power upgrades for the site from the university up to Junction 23. Loughborough itself is quite short of power. So for the complete build out of the that site, will require significant investment on power.
And data and data storage, that'd be regarded as infrastructure.
If it's on site, if it's off site, then no, it would be part of whoever comes in and invests. Or occupies, but as far as the red line is concerned, I mean this is a point that we've sort of discussed quite a lot, because there is a risk that other authorities try to actually borrow some of the investment to use as part of their capital spending, and it's not for that purpose. The purpose is for development and investment within the actual enterprise zones themselves.
Is there a designation for, obviously it's a science park, but is there a strategy for what would go in that?
So the original application to the Secretary of State set out the parameters of the vision for each of those three sites. So they are slightly different. So life sciences is the theme for the Charnwood campus site. Science innovation for the Loughborough to Junction 23 site. Precisely what the mix, for instance, within those sites, I mean Loughborough University would probably have a very strong idea about what it felt was the right mix for its bit. Wilson Bowden, I think, will probably have a very clear idea about what they think the mix is for their bit. I think it's true to say that probably Wilson Bowden will probably be a bit more commercial. The university, I think, would probably look at the support of the university and spin-off companies, etc., as being there. Yeah.
So the actual application and the designation doesn't have restrictions on the classes or types of development. There was, in the application, a proposal or a business case that actually set out the expected growth site by site, almost building by building, and investment needs attached to that, but that was 3 years ago, and already we know in that short space of time that some quite different things are happening, both in terms of time scale and development. So generally speaking, there are no real rules about what you can put on there, not stipulated by government, but each site has got aspirations in terms of what the site owners would like to see happen there, and indeed what we would like to see to meet our own economic development strategic objectives.
Okay. Just actually on page 11, part 6 of the background of the memorandum and understanding, I think really in actual fact, is it an imperative actually, Councillor Morgan, that we actually give you the permission tonight to actually carry on to go to Cabinet? So because the expiry date is May 2020 on that item 6. On this, implicit before it expires in May 2020. We're 2019 now. We'll be 3 to 4 years into the actual scenario, if you like to call it. I'm not a strategist, so
no.
Actually, but that's jumping at me saying that if we don't do this, if the Cabinet doesn't sit and do this implicitly, the 25 years will not.
Well, so the 25 years started from the designation by the Secretary of State. But the truth is, we need to get on.
Yeah.
The original memorandum of understanding, as you pointed out, is due to run out.
Mm-hmm.
We have been, I think, very, very keen to move the meetings on to the next stage. I have to say, we've sort of taken a significant amount of legal advice to actually understand fully our role and position. Mm-hmm. I think we're probably in a better shape understanding our obligations, but also our freedoms, than possibly the other two parties. So we're very keen to get on and get this signed.
Rubber stamp it, really, yeah. In principles, because it's only really in principle in one sense, about that's the way I understand it. If we don't, we'll have to start again in May 2020, do we? Or am I wrong in assuming that?
Well, good point. I mean, the memorandum of understanding would lapse.
Mm-hmm.
What would actually then happen from that point onwards, I think, would probably be open for interpretation.
Yes, that's
but we have time to get this signed. I said the fact that we've now come to a principal discussion, we had a meeting a week before last with the city mayor and their chief exec, the chair of the LEP and their chief exec, and the six words plus, I think the one-by-one officer from
that's right, yeah.
From the city who supports the LEP, to hammer out where the principles were, and this paper sets out those principles.
So in actual fact, we need to be on that bandwagon and get ourselves established totally by 2020
we're in a good position to do that. And the other thing is, this is also about giving confidence to the actual site owners themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, site owner for Charm Campus, likewise, obviously the Vice Chancellor at the University, and also as far as Delisle and Wilson Bowden are concerned, for their portion of the site as well, to make sure that they understand that we're serious about the investment criteria and also supporting the enterprise. And this is about supporting the investment in that area and on those two sites within Charnwood, to make sure that we actually turbocharge inward investment, job generation and prosperity.
And Charnwood would take ownership of that, not
and we
totally
are
not
because of the
other people
principles.
Won't be actually at our
well,
request.
Because of the principles that we've now set out, I think we are now in a much better place to actually invest in and coordinate that.
Thank you.
So this is basically a goodwill arrangement, if you like, willing parties wanting to reach an agreement. There have been some genuine issues which are not as a result of one party or another taking a particularly difficult position. Mm-hmm. There are some complicated aspects, this particularly around the technicalities of business rates and the way to calculate what might have happened had the designation ever been awarded.
Yes.
So that's an unknowable element. So we've spent a lot of time trying to unravel that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the parties are trying to seek agreement because we share the common objective, as the leader says, of trying to secure investment and bring jobs and prosperity into the borough.
Yeah, what actually concerns me is I wouldn't want it to go beyond this date, because I would want it to actually, as a resident, I would want it actually, not as a, you know, I'm looking at a residency and employment, as you said. If it goes beyond now, it all starts again, and we're actually, and it's wasted time and money and energy. So really, that was my point.
Yeah.
Paragraph 19, Chair. The reference to the other enterprise zone in Leicestershire,
mm-hmm.
and that is now in its sixth year,
mm-hmm.
and there is no agreement at this moment. So obviously, that's something we're mindful of.
Yes,
we wouldn't want to end up
because
similarly, I think there was a three-year initial agreement for that enterprise zone,
mm-hmm.
which has not progressed to a full 25-year term agreement.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments? No? Well, thanks very much for that. I did have comments about the costing and the, but I think you covered those very well.
Thank you.
So the recommendation is that the leader and chief executive be given the authority enter into the agreements. Everybody happy about that?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so we'll recommend that to council,
mm-hmm.
to cabinet, I mean. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah.
apologies, I have to disappear off now to have a board meeting at the college that started at 6 o'clock, so apologies. Here's the tie.
You just have to come to the morgue and you have to sign yourself in.
Do I need something?
Okay. Not telling you what to do, like.
You need something.
Okay, right, the item two, that is to consider the exempt report, so
sorry, Chair,
here.
If you can just go back to the agenda, there's just a couple of items just to go before that, just because we all need to go into exempt session. There's just one, item seven is just the cabinet response to...
Oh, yes, okay.
...the scrutiny from last, so if the group are just happy to agree that... And then obviously the work programme item we don't need to consider.
No, we don't need to consider that.
Are you just happy to do that and then we can just...
Well, the cabinet response to our recommendation was they received it gratefully, very few comments, and they just as normal to pass on their thanks to the members of the scrutiny group for the comments and recommendations. Okay. So. Okay, and work programme, did you say?
Yeah, but obviously...
Well, the work programme, that's a little difficult because we don't know where we're going to be after the election. I'm going to zap on two levels because the whole structure of scrutiny will change.
Yeah.
So this is really the last meeting of the overview scrutiny group. So little point in us discussing the work programme.
I will just need you to read that out for me, though, first, so I can then turn the sound recording off. Just present information, please.
So it's a case of the scrutiny group.
Item 8 is that.
Item 9 is exempt information. It is recommended that members of the public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of the following item. On the grounds it would involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3, part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Local Government Act 1972, and it is considered that the public interest in maintaining the exemption outweighs the public interest in disclosing the information. So if we can turn off the recording. Yes, OSG will recommend to Cabinet that the current contract with Capital LGS be extended in line with the option to extend set out with the current contract. That it be proposed to Capital that the contract extension period is restricted for a period of 4.5 years, and the delegated authority be given to the Head of Customer Experience in conjunction with the relevant lead members to finalise the contractual agreement with Capita. Thank you very much, Hemming. That's closed the meeting and closed down with OSG.
See you Thursday.